Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll bring you more details on some of the stories that have been making the headlines today. That includes the Isle of Man Safeguarding Board, which is reporting progress in protecting adults, but warns that support for vulnerable children still has gaps. We'll hear more about that in a moment. Also tonight, as we continue our series on the key issues ahead of this year's House of Keys general election, we turn to the rising cost of living. A local cafe owner shares how he's working to tackle loneliness and isolation across the island. And music lovers can look forward to a big band performance at Peel Cathedral this weekend. We'll also have a look at the latest weather forecast, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Darren Fastamai.
Fastamai. The Isle of Man Safeguarding Board says progress has been made in protecting vulnerable adults, but significant gaps remain in support for children at risk. Its annual report for 2024-25 highlights improved multi-agency responses to adult self-neglect, with evidence of better outcomes for service users. A mum who home educates her children believes more parents are choosing to pull their children out of traditional schools on the island.
We're seeing, I think, a rise in the amount of children that are being pulled out of school, whether that's because school isn't working for them, whether it's not working for the parents, it's not working for the family, it's not working for the children.
Leah Brooks says her community is growing after it was revealed as of September 2025, 244 children are being homeschooled compared to 47 in 2018. And Comet Schumass, which orbits the sun every 8.2 years, will be visible through binoculars today. Astronomer Howard Parkin says it's one of two comets this month that residents here will be able to see. To international news, the Ministry of Defence has revealed UK armed forces provided support to the United States in its operation to seize a Russian-flagged oil tanker. The Marinera was previously known as Bella One, and Ian Rolby, an expert on maritime security and international law, says the name change was a red flag.
And it brings into question whether the Russians were preparing themselves for a state-on-state engagement with the United States in this particular instance.
Two prisoners who had been on the run after escaping from jail have been caught. Matthew Armstrong and Daniel Washburn left HMP Layhill in Gloucestershire on New Year's Day. And Manchester United are reportedly speaking to former players Michael Carrick and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer today about the possibility of taking over as interim manager. It's understood they want a short-term replacement for Ruben Amorim, who was sacked on Monday. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So often cloudy this evening, but it will be mostly dry. There'll be a moderate northwest wind. That'll fall light as well. A few outbreaks of rain arriving early tonight. They'll clear later on. Largely cloudy and mainly dry tomorrow, again with the risk of some showery outbreaks of rain later. Moderate to fresh westerly winds. They'll fall light as well. Top temperatures around 7 Celsius. And just looking ahead to Friday, it'll be cloudy with the risk of some showers, and those could be wintry over the hills. Mainly moderate north or northeast winds, and the highest temperatures on Friday will be around 6.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
So you're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's 3.5 minutes past 5. And the Isle of Man Safeguarding Board has reported progress in how agencies work together to protect vulnerable adults. At the same time, however, it has raised concerns about gaps in safeguarding arrangements for children and young people, particularly those at risk of exploitation. Simon Richardson reports.
In its annual report covering the period from April 24 to March 2025, the board describes a year of both improvement and challenge, with strengthened systems in some areas alongside persistent weaknesses in others. The report concludes that new multi-agency procedures introduced to address adult self-neglect are having a positive impact. Independent scrutiny found better coordination between services, clearer professional guidance, and improved outcomes for individuals, with service users describing meaningful changes to their lives following intervention. Referrals into adult safeguarding remain high, which the board links in part to increased awareness following the launch of a new self-neglect strategy in autumn 2023. However, the board's evaluation of safeguarding practice for children paints a more mixed picture. While joint working and information sharing between agencies have improved, an in-depth review of how professionals respond to child exploitation found that support is often fragmented, inconsistent, and too slow. Parents interviewed as part of the scrutiny process said they felt badly let down by services, particularly when early behavioural concerns or additional needs such as autism were first identified. The report identifies the absence of a clear island-wide early help strategy as a continuing risk. Although this issue was first highlighted in a serious case management review in 2021, the board says progress has been slow and children can still fall through the gaps before problems escalate. It warns that without a coordinated pathway for early intervention, opportunities to prevent harm are being missed. Looking ahead, the board says its priorities include implementing a new approach to managing risks outside the home, developing a comprehensive neglect framework with external experts, expanding training through new e-learning platforms, and completing outstanding serious case reviews. It also notes that additional resources may be required to deliver planned reforms effectively. The board stresses that safeguarding remains a shared responsibility across agencies and communities and says it will continue to provide both support and challenge to ensure children, young people and vulnerable adults on the island are protected from abuse and harm.
Simon Richardson reporting there. You can find that full story on the Manx Radio website. It's 6:30 past five now, and a response to a Freedom of Information request that we put in has revealed five times more children have enrolled for home education this year compared to 2018. So that number has been steadily increasing since the COVID-19 pandemic. So what are the reasons for this rise? Well, Amy Griffiths has been finding out.
As of September last year, there were around 11,000 students enrolled at all the public schools on the island. Leah Brooks is a mum in Douglas and has chosen to educate all three of her children at home.
Homeschooling is when you literally bring the school home. So you do everything that you would do in a classroom. So you do lessons at a certain time, you do a playtime, you do a lunchtime, and you follow a curriculum. And then there's what we call home education, which is where it's a little bit less defined. We kind of keep it a little bit more casual. We like to talk about home education as kind of like a long spectrum. So you have people who homeschool, and then you have all the way at the other end, which is considered what we call unschooling, which is no curriculum, it's just very child-led, and it's just focusing on what the child wants and needs, and you follow their lead. So some days we are very close to unschooling, and some days we're a little bit further towards homeschooling, but it's all just following what the kids want to do. It can be really hard. I think to begin with, when I first started, I found it quite lonely. As time has gone on, it's become so much more easier. Once you find your community, you find more people that are also doing it. And from there, it's really fun. The other thing that actually I find really hard is that I still try to measure myself against the traditional education system. So it can be really hard to work out, are we doing this right? Because for a lot of people, home education isn't necessarily their choice. Their child is struggling in school.
In the 2018-19 school year, just 47 children were registered to be home educated on the Isle of Man. But as of September 2025, that was five times higher at 244. The Education Amendment Bill of 2025 is currently working its way through Tynwald. The Education Minister, Daphne Kane, has been explaining more to Phil Gorn.
We are also looking at, for instance, enhancing safeguarding, in particular how we put a focus on children who are not in our schools. We're putting that to an annual registration so that in order that we can have awareness of that. And there's another measure following recent cases in the UK that says if there is a particular safeguarding concern about a pupil, that we have the ability then to prevent a child from being removed from school to be homeschooled.
That's the Education Minister, Daphne Kane, ending that report from Amy there. So those figures are really interesting. You can find this full story on the Manx Radio website as ever. So as Amy mentioned, 2018-2019, there were 47 homeschool children. 22 to 23, that had risen to 130. And then 24-25, that was 236. And for this last academic year, it's 244. This is one of the stories on the Manx Radio Facebook page, which is getting quite a lot of comments. So do go and take a look at that one as well. It's coming up to 10 past five. So this week we are looking at some of the key issues that are expected to dominate this year's House of Keys general election. It's coming up in September. It'll be here before we know it. We will have comprehensive coverage for you covering everything about the candidates, the constituencies, how you vote, etc. And that will all be available on the Manx Radio election website. Today, when it comes to issues though, we're focusing on cost of living pressures, with charities on the island saying they're seeing an increased demand for assistance. David Gorn is the chair of both the Isle of Man Food Bank and live at home, as well as being the secretary of the Rotary Club of Douglas.
The cost of living is a big issue which is going to hit everybody this year, and it's certainly hitting the third sector. In the run-up to Christmas, that demand has increased, and we have certainly seen a much higher demand than we have previously. And I think the number of parcels, food parcels, the number of people we're seeing now in a week is as much as we were seeing in a month some years ago. So the whole thing is snowballing. And one of the things we're going to be doing in the coming year, and we're doing some restructuring in order to cope with this additional demand. So within the next few weeks, we will be announcing some restructuring of the way we operate, and that's to ensure that we can remain resilient to meeting demand. Just before Christmas, we were up to 90 parcels in a week. We've been averaging between 50 and 90, but we are now around about the 90. And the whole client base is not what people expect. When you look at the client base, it's all sorts of different people from all sorts of different backgrounds. It's not one, and it's not with one particular reason. That there are a variety of reasons which why people are coming to us, but most of them are only coming to us as a last resort. They're very reluctant, if you like, to seek support, because most of them have never been in this position before.
So that's David Gore, who's a chair of both the Isle of Man Food Bank and Live at Home. He's also the secretary of the Rotary Club of Douglas, as I mentioned. So we also asked residents in Douglas how they felt about the current cost of living and if there is, as it's been described, a crisis in their view.
More and more families are struggling. You hear the food bank giving out a lot more than they used to. Salvation Army at Christmas gave out 500 parcels for children that didn't have any presents. I've certainly noticed the price increases. You have to stop and think what you buy, where you buy it, and what you do, really.
Doing all right for myself, but I am noticing is things are getting more difficult. It seems like every year, every month even, everything gets a little bit more expensive. I can't do the things that I used to like to. I think for a lot of people, it's a really serious issue, and people need help.
I recently just moved over to the island, and you could see the cost of living is pretty high compared to back home. And yeah, I have been seeing a lot of people when we do our shopping here. Yeah, they like chopping and changing cost-wise. Chatting to people within the queues, you can see that cost of living has gone up drastically.
A concern about my daughter, she's lived here, well, since 2006, and they both work, her and her husband, two children, and they can't get on the property ladder. They can't get a deposit because they're renting. So while they're renting, they can't afford to put a deposit down on the house. And it's been like that for, we've been here since, like, say, 2006, and she just can't get on the property ladder. I don't know what you can do.
That's some of the shoppers in Douglas talking about how they feel about the cost of living currently, which is one of the issues that came up in the survey that we did just before Christmas. Just trying to find out what you believe are going to be the main election issues. And it's really driving our coverage over the next few months. Once everybody's manifesto's in, we will be publishing the full details of that survey as well. That'll be on our election website. It's coming up to 13 minutes past five.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Nothing to report on the police pages, which is always good news. Just the main thing, obviously, the mountain road is still closed. That's been extended until midday tomorrow. It's been shut since the weekend because of the weather that we had. The other thing to note is the temporary lights on Cool Road. That's near the business park. They're 24 hours a day. That is for work on pavements. Obviously, there was a cancellation of the steam packet yesterday, but the Manxman all good today. It is on its way to Douglas from Heysham. It's getting in at around about 10 past six, heading out again as scheduled, hopefully at around about 7:15, and all looking good down at the airport as well, everything on time. And if you'd like to have the full list of all the details regarding roadworks, just go to the Manx Radio website, click on the island info, and then the traffic and travel hub.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
So it's exactly 14 minutes past five here on Update. Lovely to have your company this evening. And, you know, it's always really great when we hear some positive news stories about people across the Isle of Man doing amazing things. And we've got this cafe owner in Douglas who's hoping to combat loneliness and isolation across the island. Tim Brogan from Gourmet Shakes is launching the Connection Cafe. It started today, and it's a dedicated two-hour weekly slot for people to go and either sit on their own or go and engage in conversation conversation with like-minded people. Now, he says it's not intended as a therapy or crisis service, but rather a place that people can go to before reaching the level of needing assistance from charities. For every cup of coffee sold during the cafe nights, 50 pence will be donated to Edspace, which Tim has also been part of.
If you just wanted to come by and have a coffee and sit in a space and just feel less alone for a little while, then with like-minded people, and that's really what it's about.
I understand a portion of that is going to be going to charity.
Yeah, so a portion of that will go to Edspace, a charity that I've been involved with for a couple of months now. And it's a really good thing. It's really a space where people can go and just feel themselves and talk if they are feeling alone. Really, we're trying to reach people before it gets to that sort of crisis point. We've reached over 40,000 people that are interested in the event. So even if 1% of those people come in over the time we run them, then that's something positive. There's no labels, no pressure, nothing like that. It's literally just for anyone that can come along.
Now, Tim, you've worked in this industry for years and you've interacted with people over the years. Have you yourself noticed, you know, that more and more people are lonely or isolated? Have you gone from seeing, you know, those groups or those friend groups reduced to maybe one person sitting on their own? Have you seen those slight changes in the community?
When I first started, it was I should say, more groups. You'd sort of see one person sitting alone and they'd be invited to join a group or someone would go and sit with them, whereas you just don't see that anymore. I think it's quite hard for people to interact, and it's getting less and less. So we always try and make everyone feel as welcome as possible in the cafe, and all the staff are sort of trained to do that. But then even some of my younger staff also said to me that they find it awkward or hard to interact with people outside of work, which really did actually shock me, because I thought it was a generational thing, but it's clearly not. It's just a thing that's happening to all.
That is Tim Brogan from Gourmet Shakes talking about the Connection Cafe starting today. It will be on from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. So a great way to try and make sure that people don't have that feeling of loneliness, that there is somewhere they can go and meet people in a non-intimidating environment. As ever, you can find out more at manxradio.com. Going to take a look at some sport now, starting with golf. And the Isle of Man professional golfer Anna Dawson says it's amazing to have earned her first full card on the Ladies European Tour for 2026. This comes after the former Peel player earned an impressive top 20 finish at the Tour's Q School event in Morocco late last month.
Even now, excitement hasn't worn off. Obviously, it's not too long until I get going for this season, and it's been great to just have the last couple of weeks at home with a bunch of friends and family and just kind of get to reflect on it and enjoy it. Yeah, just have a little moment to reflect and just appreciate finally achieving a goal that I've had since I first took it up at about 9 years old.
But you personally, going forward, how big a step forward could this be in your pro career in golf?
Yeah, obviously it's massive. With getting the full card, you give yourself a security of getting a full year at it. Before, when I've had partial status, you're always kind of needing a good week or relying on something or hoping the entry list gets down so you get in. Whereas this is the first time since I've turned professional, I can actually sit down and plan a schedule and know where I'm going to be at and what I'm going to play. And that alone makes a massive difference. So obviously just getting to have a full go at it, hoping I'll get just over 20 tournaments this year, is just really exciting.
Obviously, your job takes you all over the world, so you seldom get a chance to come back to the island. But do you still get plenty of support from the island a couple of years into your pro career?
I do. Everyone's brilliant. I mean, I've been fortunate where I've had RL360 sponsor me from as soon as I've turned professional. And I've actually been working at Peel Golf Club these last few months, building up the Key School. Just thought it would be good to kind of get a bit of routine back. So yeah, it's been great kind of getting to be around the members and just actually hear how much everyone supports me and follows along. I mean, after I came back and I got my card, every single person who came into the shop said they'd been following along and were super happy for me, and it's just an amazing environment that I love being around.
Looking forward then to the season to come. I mean, do you have any particular objectives in mind, or are you just taking it as it comes?
Obviously, I have a few personal goals, but I think just the main thing is, as I've tried to do the last couple of years, just keep improving every week and just keep always trying to get better.
That is Isle of Man professional golfer Anna Dawson talking to Rob there. Some football now. And the president of the Isle of Man FA believes there needs to be a more joined up approach between the association and clubs if Manx football is to grow and improve in the year ahead. Tony Meppen adds the organisation's continuing to work on solutions to problems within the local game, with two issues in particular continuing to stand out.
We've been working on the strategy of the Isle of Man FA and everything, and just looking at where the problems might be in football. And there's one that we've always had, Rob, and you'll have noticed it, is the lack of referees. And unfortunately, the end of 25 has proven a real problem, because we've got weekends now where we're struggling to get a referee on each game. Yeah, it's hard going. And the reason why, I don't know, maybe, you know, we keep saying that the players show a bit of disrespect in the games, but the referees have the cards to deal with that.
There have been plenty of talking points and some criticism towards the FA on certain things with regards to, you mentioned referees as well, recent debate around the development of the women and girls game as well. So crucially, where does the solution come from? If we're picking these two topics in particular, whilst there's plenty of comment that work is ongoing, these problems seem to still be stacking up.
They do seem to be stacking up. Let's have a look at the women's game of football. We've lost our women's development officer, Jamie Lee Ferns, who did an absolutely incredible job. We've got two new teams back in, but we're always looking to, you know, increase it. We keep getting, I think a lot of the criticism we get is people asking questions that really we have no control over the answers. One being the age band. I don't know how many years I've been hearing it, Rob, about, you know, girls and women's football. Why can't 15-year-olds play in senior women's football with parental consent? I've done it personally since I've been president. Hammered the door down at the FA and just said, just let us do a pilot scheme, let us try. But we're on an island with a small number of people. And so let's face it, you look at that island squad now that Wayne has got, there are some talented people in there, and they're like 16, 17 years of age. So the talent's there, but they just haven't the delay for 1 year. And then suddenly 15 to 16, it all comes to a stop and we're losing people. And how come hockey can do it? How come netball can do it, but football can't? And I think it's a real, real problem for us to deal with that. And the English FA need to try and help us.
That's the president of the Isle of Man FA, Tony Meppen. Well, heading into 2026 and beyond, there are a number of challenges still facing the sport of rugby on the island, but there are hopes the situation can continue to improve going forward. Manx Radio's rugby correspondent Dave Christian hopes more local teams can get involved in island competitions in future, adding there are positive signs when it comes to bringing in the next generation of players.
We've obviously had the Cheshire Games ongoing. Ramsey and Nomads in 2025 found themselves in the final of the bowl and plate competitions. Both lost. Ramsey are now in the bowl competition this season. They're through to a final. Nomads have been away for some independently arranged friendlies. They've also got the Manx Shield. Douglas Celts have joined that to replace Ramsey, who left at the end of last season to rejoin the league. So we've still got a three-team competition. There's a programme of fixtures out there. Southern Nomads are perhaps the one who suffered. They're at the bottom of the pile right now. They were beaten by Western Vikings. But the local game's given an outlet for players to get a game probably once every 2 or 3 weeks. That suits Douglas Celts, who've got a few vets in their team. Maybe doesn't quite suit everybody else so well. And we've seen players from Nomads and Western Vikings turning out for Vagabonds and Ramsey in their league teams. So it's not all brilliant. There's loads of youth rugby coming through in the under-17s, under-16s, under-15s. Streams of players coming through from all clubs. We've just got to make sure there's something for them there to enjoy when they actually turn old enough to play senior. The Manx Cup will remain pretty much as it was. Douglas won it last season. Word on the street is that Douglas Celts will be entering this season. There was a little bit of a storm in a teacup about player safety and Douglas's first team being at too high a level. That seems to have been resolved. Douglas agreeing to put their Celts team in. And obviously, if we were in a Cheshire competition, Douglas would be segregated from everybody else just because of the level they're playing at. So it seems to have all settled down a bit for 2026. Hopefully, we'll see the Manx Shield play out as it is. We'll have a healthy Manx Cup competition. And what I'd like to see is perhaps another team or two join the Manx Shield after the summer break. Maybe a Vagabond second team, maybe a Ramsey second team, maybe a Southern Nomad second team. We'll have to wait and see.
That's Manx Radio's rugby correspondent talking to Rob there. Some music news now, because the Blue Train Big Band is set to host a cathedral concert. It's happening this weekend on the Saturday, the 10th of January. Playing at Peel Cathedral, the band, which is made up of 18 pieces, will perform a variety of music, including popular songs as well. And it's such a great venue. Musical director Mike Divers has been talking to Darren Timpson.
One of the things I try and do when the band are out is I like to make 50% of the programme something that wasn't included in the last concert. So if somebody comes and says, we've got a load of followers, which is really great, but it's really important for us to make sure that when somebody comes and sees us, they're not just getting the same 15 songs every time. So there's always something different and fresh.
for new people as well that may not really know of you but know that you're going to be playing in January, what would your, I suppose, message to for them to give you guys a try and come down, I suppose?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, big bands, it's Glenn Miller and stuck in the 1940s, but actually we play some music by the Scorpions, Deep Purple music, Bruno Mars. So in the context of a big band setting, and I think that surprises people sometimes how versatile we can be. We're really focused on not living in the past and just rehashing music that's been done before, but keeping music alive and fresh so people can see what a big band can do and actually how exciting it is. If you've never seen one before, it actually surprises people how powerful and exciting it can be and how relevant really for today's music scene.
And how do you, I suppose, add in instruments to a song that probably didn't have those instruments in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, a lot of this is based on, you'll see loads of bands around the island playing sort of cover versions of things, and it's relatively easy to sort of cover something if you've got the same lineup, but with the lineup that we have, our music is very much structured. We have arrangements, so you buy them, and there are specialists that write music for big bands, so you'll contextualize it so it's scored to work for the music combination that we have, but it'll still be recognizable as the piece of music that we're playing, but it makes it exciting.
That's a musical director of the Blue Train Big Band talking to Darren there. That was Mike Divers. That concert happening at Peel Cathedral this weekend on Saturday. Update Sport is brought to you by The Print Shed, and we're joined now by Rob Fastamai.
Fastamai, first off tonight, Manx professional boxer Matthew Rennie has confirmed a date for his first fight of 2026. The Ireland-born fighter's confirmed he'll return to the ring on Saturday, the 28th of February at Box Park in Liverpool, with his opponent yet to be announced. Well, during 2025, Magic took two further victories to take his professional record to 16 wins, one draw and one defeat. He had also been due to compete in October last year, but he withdrew from that contest due to illness. So during the previous calendar year, Rennie started 2025 with a points win over Octavian Grati in Gibraltar in March, before 5 months later taking victory against Harley Hodgetts in Liverpool, also via a points decision. In cycling, it's going to be a quick start to the season for two Isle of Man riders across the men's and women's world tours. It's been confirmed both Max Walker and Becky Story will contest the 2026 Tour Down Under in Australia later this month. Story is moving into another season with Team Picnic PostNL and will be the first of the two Ireland competitors to start racing in 10 days' time on the 17th of January. Story is now the only current Manx rider on the Women's World Tour after Lizzie Holden announced her retirement from the sport at the end of 2025. Meanwhile, Walker, who's starting his second full season with USA-based squad EF Education Easy Post, he'll be involved in the men's event, which starts a few days later on the 20th of January. Separately, Ireland resident and former world scratch champion Ben Swift will be one of those competing for honours against Walker. He'll be competing with his team in Ineos Grenadiers. And in motorsport, it looks like there's changes afoot for Manx competitor Joe Yeardsley in 2026. On social media, the Ireland riders announced he'll return to running his own team for the coming season. No specific details have been given yet, but he says he's excited to share his plans very soon. Or during the previous campaign, the 2023 Senior Manx Grand Prix winner competed for the likes of Scott Racing, Flitwick Motorcycles and Mistral Racing across the road racing season in a busy 2025.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Well, that is all from Update this evening. Thank you as ever for your company. All the details on tonight's top stories you can find on our website. Coming up next at 5:30, it's the first spotlight of the year, brought to you by Howard Kane and the Isle of Man Arts Council. And we hear about new chances to try your hand at Manx dancing. I know Rob's very keen on that. A novel set in the Isle of Man, but written by an Irish author. And the search begins for the next Manx youth bard. Could that be you? That is Spotlight, straight after Update, available soon after the programme as a podcast. Then it is Chris Kinney from 6 with Greatest Hits at 9, after a brief break for some Christmas cookies and a large Jack Daniels. Andy Wint is back on those country roads with music from the likes of Miranda Lambert's Chris Young and Ricky and Sydney Phipps. And then at 10, Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours. Breakfast is here from 6 with Ben in the morning. An Update will be back at 5 tomorrow. Have a lovely evening.